I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of A View from the Stands. And we've got a really special one for you today. My co-host, Rudra, sat down with possibly the greatest and surely the hungriest batsman in the world today, Steve Smith. And boy, did he have a lot to say. But before we play you the interview, which is coming up shortly, I'd like to ask Rudra how the one-on-one session went. And without giving away too much, could you tell our listeners what to expect?
Hi, thanks, sure. But before I start, I just wanted to ask you, I mean, where do you stand with the greatest batsman right now debate? I mean, is it Steve Smith? Is it Virat Kohli? Who is it for you?
Kane Williamson. I mean, that's such...
Kane Williamson.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great choice. Kane Williamson is amazing.
It's a very neutral choice. That's what I was going to say. But yes. Man, see, we're blessed, right? With like all these fabulous batsmen around. They were the big four. They could possibly be the big five now. The fourth being Root and Babar Azam from Pakistan. Good time to watch batsmen. But you got who I think is honestly the best of them all. I mean, favorite is Kane Williamson, but the best is Steve Smith. So how did that go?
It went great, and it was such a pleasure because, you know, I have this peculiar thing about cricket is that I don't really like watching people who look very classical and graceful with apologies to Rahul Dravid. For example, I could never really enjoy watching him play. It's a personal quirk. You know, I like people who look a little strange, who look a little awkward. So for me, this is a dream come true to have somebody like Steve Smith doing what he's doing right now. The way he does it, and it's so crazy. It's so much fun to watch, and an amazing, amazing batsman. I mean, it's really difficult to get him out. I mean, people just don't know what to do when he's batting in tests, as we saw in the Ashes last year. And I just can't wait for him to get back to tests and India's tour of Australia later this year, just to watch him play. That's all I want to do, is to watch him play, watch him take on one of the finest fast bowling attacks in the world right now, which is Jasprit Bumrah, Mohammad Shami. What fun that would be. And the thing is, one of the things that makes it such a joy to watch Steve Smith bat is the fact that he moves constantly. He can't stay still. It's like the only time he stays still is that one fraction of a second when the ball is released from the bowler's palms. And, you know, and that's all that matters. That little fraction of a second where he's still is where everything comes together. But the rest of the time, he's just a blur of movement. And this Absolutely. Is something that I saw during the conversation as well, is that he really likes, you know, like the way Italian defenders plead with referees when a decision goes against them. You know, yeah. That exaggerated hand movement. This is what Steve Smith speaks like as well. I mean, with a lot of hand movement, with a lot of, you know, everything that he said was
accompanied by this. Was he just as twitchy over the virtual interview?
I wouldn't say just as twitchy. You know, that is hard to get. I think, and as you said in the interview, is that, you know, the more pumped up he is, the more he feels like, you know, he's going to get to a big score. He said he becomes, the more twitchier he gets. He says, my movements become bigger and weirder. And he says, he said that I actually don't know that I'm doing this. When I'm doing it, I don't know I'm doing it. It's only later when he watches himself that he realizes that, okay, you know, as he played better and better, his movements got bigger and weirder.
Yeah, it's just a take, you know.
Yeah, it's yeah. quite unconscious. It's just him letting himself express whatever his body feels like doing at that moment. And, you know, and that's to have the freedom to do that and the confidence to do that is great. I think that is part of why he's so good at what he does. I don't think he thinks much about anything else except for how he wants to do things.
Yeah, and quite like the way he bats, Steve Smith has let his mind and his thoughts wander in this interview. So without further ado, let's get down to it.
So, Steve, bit of a struggle at this IPL. How do you keep the morale of the team high when you're in a situation like this? What do you tell the boys?
Yeah, look, it hasn't been our ideal campaign so far. We've won probably a couple of games that we probably didn't deserve to win from nowhere. And we've lost a couple where we've been in the box position and we've let it slip, which has been unfortunate. But usually the ones where you win, where you're not supposed to, they're the ones that usually make your season. Unfortunately, the ones we should have won, we haven't done. So, we're in a bit of a tough situation at the moment. Obviously, 3 from 9 and probably needing to win 5 of the next, well, all of our remaining games to make the playoffs. So for us, we know it's pretty clear now what needs to be done. The equation's pretty simple. So for us, it's, you know, trying to stay upbeat as much as possible. Of course, when you lose games that you feel you should have won, guys are going to be a bit down in the dumps and hurting a bit, which is good. You want that. But then you need to get over it quickly. You know, we've got a game tomorrow, so you got to get over it. The sun comes up the next day. You got to keep trusting your preparation and trusting everyone around you that we can do the job. I do believe we have a good side here. We've got plenty of match winners that can get us over the line. We just need to be doing it a little bit more consistently. And like I said, the equation's very simple for us now.
Right. In fact, you've got an incredible team, actually, with Joss, Ben Stokes, you, Jofra, a whole lot of talented Indian players as well, Unnatkar among them. I saw you trying what felt to me like 3 different kind of approaches to your batting. First, you opened to take on the new ball and use the field restrictions. Then I saw you slog against KKR all out, trying to just hit. Then yesterday, I saw you go back to like trying to outsmart the bowler, manipulate the field. Is that a correct assessment of things that you're trying out?
Yeah, I think at the start of the tournament when I was batting up top, it wasn't actually, it was a plan for the first game to do that at Sharjah in particular because Joss wasn't available. Jaiswal and I, that was our plan to open the batting. And for me, it was about, I knew at Sharjah at that stage, the wicket was pretty good. It was going to be a high scoring game. So I was trying to play more shots and get us off to a pretty good start. And I did that reasonably well whilst playing probably a different style of game to what I am accustomed to. Playing a few more shots, you know, probably more slogging, to be perfectly honest. And as you said, I think I just kept on doing that against KKR and Mumbai. I just couldn't quite get the groove of, the right tempo of the game, I think. And I was being a bit too aggressive and a bit uncharacteristic of the way I normally play. So I've sort of been struggling to find a bit of rhythm. I don't know whether it's, you know, having not played a lot of, or haven't played really any cricket for 6 months, played a couple of games in England in T20s where, you know, I didn't spend a lot of time in the middle. And for me, it's time in the middle is almost the most important thing. And I know that if I spend time in the middle, I get the rhythm of the game, I get the groove, I find feel. So fortunately, yesterday I was able to do that. It's taken a bit longer than I'd like, obviously failing in, you know, 5 or 6 games before I actually got this time in the middle. So now that I've had that, felt good yesterday and hopefully I've found the right rhythm and tempo of my game to take it forward in the next few. I think that's the way I play my best. You know, I'm hitting gaps. I'm not trying to overhit the ball. I'm manipulating the field. I think that's the way I play my best. So now having spent, you know, I was trying to find it in the nets and it's hard. And I did, before this game, I actually, 2 days out before the game, I spent probably 2.5 hours in the nets just batting, just trying to get the feel. And I felt something sort of come back, which is hard to do in the nets, but I felt it come back. And then I had a hit the day before the game. I probably batted for about half an hour and I just felt good again. So it was like, yes, this is good. We're sort of working up to something. And then yesterday came out to bat, and once I got through my first like 5 or 6 balls, I started to find some nice rhythm and feel good in my movements, in my headspace, what I was thinking. So, yeah, hopefully I can just carry on from then. But it has taken longer than I would have liked to have found that rhythm, that's for sure.
It's always seems to be a challenge for people who are really, really, you know, good at playing tests, to find that kind of, because what you said, you obviously, if you do well in tests, it means that you like to be out there in the middle spending time. Mm-hmm. And in T20, you just don't get that, right? It's always like quick, in and out. So is that transition hard for people who are, you know, very successful in tests to make?
I don't necessarily think that's the case. It's probably more the fact, normally we're playing, we'd be playing a test match and then we'd come and play. So we've had that sort of volume and work behind us where we've spent time in the middle, and there's nothing like, for a batter, there's nothing like time in the middle, regardless of which form of the game. And unfortunately, I haven't had that recently, played the T20s in England, and then after that I got hit in the head and I missed the one days. The one days would have been a great lead in for me because I could have played just normal cricket and found some time. So having not had that and then having another week or 2 weeks off batting after my head knock, it was sort of going back to square one again and starting again, which hurt. And then obviously at the start I was coming out and just playing my shots and slogging a bit in the first few games. So I just couldn't quite find the rhythm. And now that I've found the rhythm, I know yesterday is the way I play my best. I'm not over hitting the ball. I'm hitting just the middle of the bat, hitting good cricket shots, manipulating the field, just playing smart. And, yesterday, like I said, hopefully yesterday now, having spent some time out there, it's just got my rhythm back and hopefully I'm good to go from here.
What are you thinking? I mean, I remember that you spoke about it in an interview once, that one of the best things that you have learned is to catch your thoughts. How does that work? How is it, you know, when you catch your thoughts, how do you work with them? Can you give me an example of out in the middle of a thought that, you know, you caught and you're like, okay, no, this is not something I want to do. I want to do something differently.
Yeah, I can try and give an example. I think for me, catching my thoughts is more... like you get an urge to want to like smack a bowler or something. So in test cricket in particular, catching it and saying, why, what's the point? Just give yourself a ball, like just play it out and then see if that thought's still there and then do it again. The thought might come back and you're like, no, it's okay. We can just play this ball out and we'll just keep playing. We don't need to do that right now. If it doesn't work, I'll be back in the middle and I'll be angry. Back in the sheds and I'll be angry at myself. So just keep playing. But I think in T20 cricket, allowing those urges to, or those thoughts to, I let them in sometimes, I think, which is a good thing. I think the shorter the format, you actually need to play more shots. So if you have an urge that you want to smack someone, like back it 100%. As soon as you've got any hesitancy against it, there's a good chance you're not going to hit it in the middle and hit it for six. You're going to shank it to the fielder and get out. So got to back it. But there is times also in that shorter format where you need to let urges go and just play smarter cricket. So for instance, yesterday I had an urge, the field was right to hit a reverse sweep Chahal. That's for me, this is what I feel is a bit premeditated. Obviously I switched my feet and it was like the field's right, where his bowling's right. I'll give in to this one and I think that's a good option for me. I think I feel like it's a safe option and it's a boundary option. So there's an example of just giving in to an urge, I suppose. So, you know, in test cricket, if they set the same field or something, obviously I'd be like, well, why would I do that? Like, no, that's silly.
I became more conscious of the fact that the human mind is just racing with thoughts, right? It's just, it's constantly, being bombarded. Is. Yeah. And, and one of the things that, you know, players always talk about, and especially people who have a lot of success, is that, okay, when you're out in the middle, you're thinking of only the next ball and nothing else. And if you can do that, then, you know, success comes to you. If you're not thinking about the past or what will happen in the future, how do you work with that? How do you actually do that?
Yeah, you're right. The mind is an incredible thing, and there's always thoughts racing through it. And I think if you ask a lot of the best players around the world, I'd say that when they feel they're batting their best, they're not thinking anything, you know, they're just reacting to what's coming at them. They're watching that ball as closely as they can, and they react. They know the field, know where their gaps are, and they're reacting to what's coming at them, and they're not thinking of too much. It's just so clear. And I think that's, you know, what you call when players are in the zone. You know, they're just watching the ball and playing what's coming at them, and there's no other thoughts that are clouding their mind about anything. It's just you're in that present moment, and you let your instincts take over, and you trust everything you've done, your preparation, you trust it all, and it's just playing.
But for you, is that something that just switches on and off, or is it something that you work towards getting into that kind of zone?
I think there's just, I don't know how to explain it. There's days where it just happens, and you're just in a place where, I don't know, everything's, you're hitting the ball well, your movements are good, you're not thinking about your technique, you're not thinking about anything except you're just watching the ball and reacting to it. And it's, you know, I think the more you get into that sort of frame of mind, the more you can do it, the more successful you're probably going to be. So it's difficult to put a finger on why some days are like that and why others aren't. And if I find that answer for you, I'll certainly let you know. But it's, you know, it's just one of those things. Some days you just turn up and you almost know you're going to score runs. Like, your thought process is so good, and you're just so clear, and you're just playing. It's cricketers are strange humans, aren't they? Like, there's so much that goes through our heads.
Can you tell me a little bit about the Edgbaston 144 coming back after, again, like night round, you were coming back into cricket after 16 months of not playing tests. What an incredible innings that was. Also because Australia were pretty badly off when you came in and did almost the entire thing in the presence of tail-enders. How good was that, and what was that like for you in the middle?
Yeah, that was pretty special. Obviously hadn't played test cricket for close to 18 months. It obviously just come off the back of a World Cup, and I'd been playing other cricket, so it's a bit different to coming here to IPL, where I actually haven't spent the time in the middle, which is, you know, it's completely different. So look, coming back into test cricket for me, I was excited, obviously. I wouldn't say nervous that I'd lost anything. I still believed I had everything in the kit bag to be successful. And then that innings is probably my favourite innings of my career so far, just with everything, you know, my first game back, it was, you know, we were under the pump, we were losing wickets, and I was batting with the tail, and to dig us, and I know the importance of the first test of an Ashes series as well, so that was all there. So to be able to dig our team out of a bit of a hole, and post, yeah, like I said, probably my favourite innings in international cricket, it was pretty special. So yeah, just, and it gave me belief straight away to know, you know, I'm back. Like, it gave me confidence to know straight away that, you know, I've still got everything that it takes to be successful. There was no doubting myself from there. Not that there was a lot of doubt beforehand, but it just sort of reassured me. It said, you know, you can still play, you're going all right. So gave me that confidence going forward. So yeah, it was a very special innings.
But was there a point in that innings when you felt like, right, things are clicking, you know, I'm going to, like you said, that sometimes you know that you're going to get a big score, and like you said about yesterday's innings in the IPL, that you could feel that you're more in rhythm and more in tempo. Was there a particular point of that innings where you felt like yes, this is going the right way?
I reckon when I got to around 40-odd, I think I felt I was in a good space. I was just hoping that someone could bat with me. You can't do anything if you run out of partners. So fortunately, I think Peter Siddle played really well. Nathan Lyon stuck around for a bit. Travis Head might have got a few as well. So, you just need partners as well. So I was hoping someone could stay with me. And, we were able to post a decent total for the first innings on a wicket that was doing a bit. So, yeah, I reckon when I got to about 40, I felt in a good place. I felt, I guess, in the zone in a way, and that I was there to stay for a bit.
What with the samurai sword play when you're leaving the ball? Is that something?
Good question.
Is that something you just started doing for fun, or
It's a good question. I actually don't know how it started and why it started. I guess when you're kind of in that zone, you actually don't know a lot of the stuff you're doing. And my movements, when I'm generally a bit like pumped and really really just switched on and like my blood's flowing and stuff. I just feel like my movements are just bigger and, yeah, I don't know, I just do some weird stuff. And I don't actually know that I'm doing it.
That was Rudra speaking to Steve Smith. I hope you guys got as much out of that interview as, we did when Rudra first played it to us. That's Smith. He's quite as amazing when he's talking as when he's batting. And yeah, hopefully we have a few more specials lined up before this IPL ends. And good luck to Smith and Rajasthan Royals while he's at it. That's about it from us. Thanks for listening. This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.